Thanks, Jesse. My name is Alex Parthet. I am a board certified construction attorney here in Florida. And today we're going to talk about how to lock in a payment plan like a professional. I'm going to go through four very specific tips and give you some sample language on what to put in your payment plans so that you can get paid faster and you can avoid litigation, which is always the goal. So let's get right into it. So what are we going to go over? Tip number one, get it in writing and have it signed by a principal. We're going to talk about why that's important. Number two, get the correct terms in the agreement. I'm going to give you some very specific terms to make sure that are in your payment plan to make it really enforceable and protect you. Number three, only offer credits in exchange for payment in full. We see this a lot. I want to tell you how to do it right. Number four, under no circumstances should you give up your lien or bond rights sooner than you need to. We'll talk about what that means. And of course, if you have questions, feel free to send them at the end of the presentation or always send us an email and we will answer it afterwards. All right, so let's get right into it. Tip number one, get it in writing and make sure that it's signed by the right person. So understand when it comes to legal issues, for the most part, you should assume that if it's not in writing, it doesn't exist. Because if it's not in writing, then what's going to happen is if you have to go to court to prove a point, you're going to have a witness. And that witness is going to have to say, so-and-so said something to me, and I relied on it. So that he said, she said, is expensive to do in court, and it's always subject to someone else's very convenient memory on what they think happened. So put it in writing. Emails and texts are okay, but with respect to payment plans, you want to make sure that you get it in a physical document, a formal agreement that we can point to as the agreement between the parties. Again, an email and text is better than nothing, but it is not as good as a formal agreement that is signed. And this is where it gets important. You want to make sure that the person that is signing the agreement with you for this payment plan, right? Because understand, this payment plan is, you owe me money, I'm gonna sue you, you've decided that instead of me suing you to get paid, we're gonna enter into this agreement where you're going to pay me money over time, and I'm gonna accept that money, or this reduced amount of money, and that is going to make this legal matter go away. You wanna make sure that the person that is signing the agreement for the other side is authorized to do so. The easiest way to do that in the state of Florida is make sure that that person that is signing the document is listed on the Secretary of State, sunbiz.org. So put in the president, the vice president, the secretary, the treasurer, a director, a managing member. Don't just have a salesperson sign it. Don't just have a project executive sign it. Again, that's better than nothing, but if you really want to make it enforceable, you want to try to make sure that the person that's signing it is listed on the Secretary of State website for the business that you're making the deal with. We see some clients say, well, I don't need to go through this trouble. You know, the other side just gave me 10 post-dated checks. Post-dated checks that are in your hand are nothing more than a potential promise to pay. So if I hand you 10 post-dated checks, each worth $1,000, you know, the idea is that you feel secure because you're holding something in your hands, but each of those 10 checks is nothing more than a promise. So if you then go to the bank when you're supposed to deposit and there's no money there, you don't really have anything that's truly legally enforceable. The fact that they gave you post-dated checks doesn't create some new agreement. And that's really the purpose of this payment plan, is that if you have to go to court because someone didn't live up to the terms of their payment plan, not only can you sue them under the original debt, but you get to sue them for breaching this separate agreement, which is this payment plan. Okay, tip number two, you need to make sure you have the right terms in your payment plan. So let's go over some of the key terms. What is the total principal debt that is owed? You need to indicate that in the document. This is going to be important when we talk later about whether or not you want to give credits. indicate the payment terms very clearly. When are they going to pay you specifically? I strongly recommend that you use due dates versus the number of days. So what do I mean by that? So if you're expecting 5 payments over 5 months, you could write payment is due on the 15th of the month for the next 5 consecutive months. You know, that works. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens if one of the days is a weekend, it's a legal holiday? So when we write payment plans, we just take the little extra effort. We look at the calendar and we say, okay, payment number, we put a little chart right in the agreement. Payment number one, $3,000, April 15th. Payment number two, $3,000, May 13th. You know, so we put in the specific day that we're expecting the payment to be due, and we always make sure we pick a day that is not a weekend and is not a holiday. It just avoids one little a potential hiccup that could occur in the future. You need to indicate that payment is only due upon receipt, not mailing. So if it says that payment is due on the 15th of April, does that mean I put it in the mail on the 15th and then I've done my job by making the payment? Or is it that you have to receive it by the 15th? You, as the person making the agreement, you need to indicate that it's not paid until you receive it, right? That's the thing that matters. Not when they put it in the mail, but when you receive it. You need to include the phrase, time is of the essence. These 5 words are magic words in the law. And the significance of the words time is of the essence, it is that it means that when you put in a date or a time period, it cannot be fluctuated from. It cannot be altered. If you don't have this language, those dates are just estimates. And your intent isn't that if payment is due on the 15th, that is an estimate that, you know, within a week or two, you'll get the money. No, you actually mean the 15th. So if you want the 15th to mean the 15th or 30 days to be 30 days, you need to make sure you include the words time is of the essence in the agreement. What happens if the payment is late or incomplete? You need to indicate that in the agreement. Incomplete payments or late payments by the payor have to constitute a default. And what happens when a default occurs? All of the remaining unpaid amounts are immediately accelerated, just like a note. So one thing you can consider a payment plan to be like is like a promissory note. It is a version of a promissory note. It's a promise by the other side to pay you a certain amount of money in a certain period of time. But if they fail, then whatever is unpaid at that time should be immediately accelerated at that point and become immediately due. Okay, here is a pro tip for you on one thing to make sure you include in your payment plan. Get confirmation that there are no issues with your work or materials. What you want to try to avoid is that you are owed money, you make a deal in a payment plan, they're supposed to make payments to you, they don't, you sue them, and then when you go to court, they say, well, I never got the materials, or they were late, or your work was no good, or we have to supplement your forces, or all of that ideally goes away when you enter into this payment plan. So here's a very simple sentence that you can use in your payment plan agreements. You can make this much more elaborate. You could have a full release if you wanted. But again, I wanted to give you something simple. So an example would be, it would say contractor acknowledges receipt of supplier's materials without defects or delay. Confirms its obligations to pay supplier as set forth herein and has no claims, back charges, or offsets of these amounts. It's a very simple sentence that indicates, hey, I'm making this deal with you to pay you, and I recognize that I don't have any offsets to these amounts. And the reason that's important, again, is if you have to go to court, you can point to this and say, hey, we made a deal. You agreed that I didn't delay the job. I didn't have any issues with my materials. And you agreed that this amount was owed. When you show this to a judge, it will speed up your case significantly. Okay, tip number three. If you decide that as part of this deal, you are going to offer a discount, you only want to do that at the final payment. I strongly recommend that as a way to avoid litigation, if what it takes to make the deal is to give a credit, some amount of money you're willing to give up just to make the deal, you should do that. That amount that you're going to give up usually is worth far more than having to hire a lawyer and file a lawsuit and try to collect. So, how do you do it? Let me give you an example. If the total debt in our example is $21,000 and you are willing to accept $18,000 as payment in full if they make 6 timely payments, the agreement should list the amount that's due as $21,000, not $18,000. Let me be very specific. You want to make the agreement for the total amount, but you're going to give them a credit if they make all of the payments by cutting off some or all of the final payment. What you don't want to do is enter into an agreement because you've decided to give a credit of a few thousand dollars by saying the total amount owed is $18,000. And the reason this is important is because if they breach the agreement, you want to be able to claim the full amount, not the reduced amount. So the way you preserve that right to go after them for the full amount later is the agreement is for the full amount. So in my example, it's $21,000. If they make the payments, they only have to pay $18,000. But if they don't, they're going to pay the full $21,000. So you want to do that in the final credit. So here's an example of a sentence you can use. Again, this is an example of, to show you how it would work. So here's some sample language. If contractor timely pays the first 6 monthly payments of $3,000 without default, the 7th and final $3,000 payment will be waived. But in the event of a default by contractor prior to the final payment, no amounts are waived, and the total balance of $21,000 shall be due, less any prior payments timely and properly made. So understand what this says. This says, if you make all the payments on time, we're going to cut off the last payment. But if you don't, then you're going to owe me the full amount of the debt without a discount, subject, of course, to reducing it by whatever you make, what has already been paid by you. And that will always be a deduction, right? The judge will never let you double dip. So if they made 3 payments and they had 4 more payments to make, you don't ignore the payments that were made. That does actually reduce the debt. What you're not going to let them reduce the debt by is the discount because they breached the agreement. Last tip, tip number 4. Do not give up your lien rights too soon. You need to understand that if you have lien rights and you've perfected those lien rights, you want to, at all costs, avoid giving up your lien rights before the payment cycle ends on your payment plan. What do I mean? I mean, if I owe you money and you have a lien on my project and we agree to a payment plan, you need to determine, when do your lien rights expire? Maybe you have a whole year because you just recorded the lien. Maybe you recorded the lien 6 months ago, so you only have another 6 months left on the lien. Let's take that example. So you have 6 months left on your lien before your lien is set to expire. You should enter into a payment plan where you're getting your last payment before your lien rights expire. So you don't want to enter into a 9-month payment plan if you only have 6 months left on your lien. You would like to have a payments plan that is 6 months or faster, so that you know you get the last payment before you have to satisfy the lien. If you decide to give up your lien or bond rights as part of this payment plan, I strongly encourage you to consider getting alternate security of some form. So that could be a corporate guarantee or a personal guarantee. So let's say I owed you money. I really need you to remove the lien as part of this payment plan. And you've agreed, but you tell me I'm only willing to do that if I personally sign this payment plan and I personally become liable for the debt. So be aware that there are things you can ask for in this negotiation to give you some additional rights, because if you're giving up your lien rights, which is a great piece of security, you need to feel comfortable that you have some recourse if the payments are not made. Be careful about payments with credit cards because of chargebacks, or personal or company checks. Okay, this is a pro tip. If you enter into an agreement and they're going to be paying you via credit card, know that they can always have several months with the credit card merchant, their merchant services, their vendor, to make a chargeback. So be very careful about agreeing to take payments via credit card. We strongly suggest that the only way you take payments is via check, ACH, or wire. Credit cards obviously have the fee for you to process, but are always subject to potential chargebacks. So you enter into a payment plan, they make all the payments, you release your lien, and then a month later, they charge back those payments, and now you're fighting about whether or not that chargeback is appropriate or not. So be very, very careful about that.